Okay, so Robert Mueller III is, you know, well established. He's a Republican. He was the head of the FBI for years. They actually continued him, both sides of the aisle voting for him. Couldn't have better credentials. And now there's a question as to whether or not his report is going to implicate the president of the United States, who is all over the place as we speak today, saying, no, he's going to write a letter exonerating me. What do you make of that whole mess?
Well, I have enormous respect for Bob Mueller. I really do. I, you know folks who know him well from his time at FBI, and I've certainly been impressed with his seriousness, deliberateness, and soberness about this incredibly important investigation. We need to let it run its course. And that's why when, you know, people have challenged me on taking a variety of steps right now, vis-a-vis the president, I say let the investigation run its course. We need to know what happened. We need to know what happened, not just about, you know, the president and his inner circle. We need to know about the campaign. We need to know what Russia has done. And that's important for a whole lot of reasons about how we protect ourselves. So I do think it's noteworthy that, you know, the Benghazi Commission examined stuff for 3.5 years, never issued a single indictment, never really came up with anything. And that, you know, in less than a year, you've got a bunch of indictments and more investigation happening. I mean, they're uncovering things that are clear violations of law that are extremely serious and very challenging to the country's national security, but also very challenging to the preservation of our democracy. And I take that quite seriously. And again, I'm not going to second guess where this winds up, but I am going to defend in every way I can the independence of this investigation to go forward. And then Congress, you know, may have further steps to take. You know, we also have, and let's be clear, Alan, we've also got multiple investigations going on in the Senate and the House, in the Intelligence Committee, you know, and in judiciary to deal with different aspects. But, you know, the special counsel has a very important role to play and has historically in this country to deal with incredibly difficult issues. And I'm going to continue to ensure that Mueller and his team have the opportunity to do their work.
So the idea, an assertion by the president that he knows that there's going to be a letter written exonerating him has to be just one more, you know, piece of something from the president's mouth, right?
I have no idea, you know, how he can assert that with the level of confidence that he does. But you know what? He asserts a lot of things with a level of confidence.
Exactly right.
Which does not necessarily mean that they are true. So, again, that's why I trust the legal system, and I will continue to defend the independence of the legal system, the independence of the prosecutorial functions of the special prosecutor to really take a look at what's going on. Mm. You know, we each have a role to play in a democracy, and the legal system doesn't work unless the, you know, the prosecutors are held to a very high standard, which he has exemplified, and then are not interfered with when they're doing their work.
I know your commitment to children. To me, one of the worst things that's going on in this country right now is the elimination of the child's health care program.
Chip.
And it has not been renewed. And I don't know that they are going to renew it. I mean, you know, Ivanka Trump said that there was a special place in hell for people who picked on kids. This is a pretty good example of a place in hell that ought to be reserved.
Well, it's terrible. It's terrible that, you know, health insurance for children who come from, you know, often the working poor, to be honest, who are the ones most affected by this, and that they're being held hostage as part of these end-of-the-year negotiations. Honestly, Alan, it's a little bit like, you know, college, when a professor starts giving extensions on papers, and students stay up all night until whenever the end of the last extension is. And that's what's happening again, and they're trying to put pressure on people by intentionally not allowing us to do the extension on CHIP, on the Children's Health Insurance Program, which everybody supports, holding that hostage to try to force people to vote for a lot of terrible policy elsewhere. And it's bad and it's wrong. Let bills stand on their own. Let them stand on their own merits. And the same thing is true for there's community health centers also being held hostage. Again, huge bipartisan support. It's not about that. It's trying to force votes. So we may be here after Christmas. We may be here until Christmas. I don't know. But it's no way to run a government, I will tell you that.
So do you think, shifting gears a little bit, that the Democrats have any chance of all of taking the House of Representatives?
Absolutely. Absolutely a chance of doing that. And I think the desperateness of the Republican leadership to ram through a so-called tax reform bill that's just a huge giveaway to the wealthiest Americans at the expense of the future of the middle class. It's going to be middle class kids and grandchildren who are going to pay doubly because there's going to be this huge debt. And on top of that, we're also going to be, they're also going to push to cut Medicare and Social Security. So talk about sandwich generation. Think of 10 years from now. Young people who are dealing with parents and grandparents who are aging with programs cut back, not having money to spend on things like infrastructure, which I'm, working incredibly hard to try to get stuff done. And we don't have money to do good things like infrastructure, but we apparently have enough money off the books to give $1.5 trillion giveaway to the wealthiest Americans and corporations in the hope and prayer that maybe a little bit of it will trickle down. I mean, it's just that theory has been disproven, and you're seeing the architects of previous, tax reform saying it's not going to work here. If your idea is to help the middle class and raise wages and create jobs, this ain't going to do it.
Elizabeth Essey, I'm not trying to butter you up, but you're terrific. And, you have such an insight into the way things work. Your colleague who came before you, Chris Murphy, in your very district, he's being talked about for president. What about you? Would you want to be vice president of the United States?
I got my hands full with the 5th District, and my top priority is representing my district well. And I've got to tell you, given what we've seen, the erraticness out of this White House, I think it's really important that we restore some balance. And I'm going to be working really hard to try to get the House back in Democratic hands next year so that we can return to bipartisan work. We really need to be doing that. And the one bright spot, I will say, I have 3 bills going through the House this week. So despite everything else, actually one actually just passed on the floor moments ago, and it now will be, headed for some things headed for signature later this week.
Wow.
By the president. So it's despite the craziness, still getting things done. And at the end of the day, we need to get back to doing the people's business.
Well, we're out of time, but I did want to ask you very quickly, just a yes or no answer. And nobody wants to be governor of Connecticut right now, but how about you?
You know what? I am doing exactly what I think I need to be doing right now. I'm a good legislator. I really like it. I'm good at it. And I think a lot's going to be happening to change what's happening in the House in the next couple of years. And I think I can play an important role in moving us back to an era where the House of Representatives actually functions. And that's what I'm pushing hard to do.